405 DGS, happy Friday. Well, if ever there is a pull out the St. Louis Magazine guide to patio dining, tonight's the night. What a gorgeous evening it's going to be.
It's been so perfect. No humidity.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's fortunately, we do this podcast. There's my shameless plug right off the bat.
No problem.
Arch Eats. And we've, the last two episodes, we did patios. And we'll do an episode on patios. Well, it was going to be like an hour and 15 minutes long. And we said, well, this won't work. So we split it into two episodes, which are still both airing. And, you know, we hit it perfectly. I mean, it came out about 10 days ago, and it's going to go for another 10 days. And, I mean, the weather has just been perfect for this. And it could have been 120 degrees, or it could have been whatever. But anyway, And, gosh, we were out the other night. We'll probably go out tonight. You can hardly not go out, because you know it's going to be horrible in a couple of weeks.
There aren't that many days like this in St. Louis.
No. And I just looked at the long range. Dave Murray said, you know, 10 days, it's going to be 90, 92, 95. Just enjoy it while you can, folks. Get out and enjoy a patio. I was talking about that on the in my newsletter today. Just do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's always interesting in this business, Dave. It's, I'm either really crazy busy, and I'm always crazy busy, but you know how I always get excited about doing all the openings and closings and coming soons? I log that. I've been logging that for years and decades. And it's always about the same. For every two or three closings, there's 10 or 15 openings. It's got a ratio of about 1 to 4, 1 to 5. And it's always been that way, even through COVID and through, and it's just nutty. But this month, there were 6 openings. Last May, there were 26 openings. And people saw that and they go, oh, here we go. Is this the end? Is this the beginning of the end? Is it, you know, restaurants as we know all going to disappear, Jordan? No, I don't think so. But it sure makes you wonder. And I started to get a little scared myself. And I looked at next month. There's going to be this month, June, there'll be 23 openings.
What percentage would you ballpark of restaurant openings overall are grizzled veterans who know exactly what they're getting into, and what percentage are people like me who have a dream and go, I'm opening Glover's Barbecue?
I'd say about 50-50.
Okay.
I mean, no basis for that, but I see a whole lot of people that shouldn't be doing this. Can I talk you out of it before it's too late? Because you're going to make a mistake.
What are some of the biggest mistakes they make?
They, it ranges from bad location, bad concept. Just, we thought this is going to be a great idea.
Thought everyone would love this.
Right. And you love it. And
we love
it. And we're the only two that do.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, it's a bad lease. You know, they're paying, you know, they get stars in their eyes and they sign this lease and go, wait a minute, that's just way, way more than you should have done. And if you think, if you pay any attention to numbers, your price is going to have to be full every night to make this work. Bad partners. You know, just partnerships that just don't work out. That's a big problem.
If you kill it, what kind of return do you usually get?
15%. And that's killing it.
Yeah.
And 15, 18%. And those numbers are way few and far between.
Yeah.
It used to be 8 to 10. And then somebody said, you know, hey, 5, I'm doing pretty good. And in the last couple of years, you know, doing 2 and 3%, you're doing fine. And, you know, 2 and 3% ain't fine, folks. It doesn't pay many bills. But
is it a urban legend that restaurants only make money on the drinks?
No, they make money on the food, but they make a whole lot more on the drinks, for sure. So those places without liquor licenses, a lot of them you shouldn't open up. And guys that open up without their liquor license, you're playing with fire. Good luck on staying open until, and that's why this whole city, you know, the city of St. Louis was lagging behind, and it was 6 and 7 and 8 months before you could get a liquor license. And the guys were otherwise ready to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said, the heck with it, we're going to open up without the liquor license and get it when we get it.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I hope you make it to that point, because you're not going to be making the money that you should.
Yeah.
So that has gotten slightly better. It's still a months-long process to get a liquor license, but it should be easier again. And then I look to places like Miami Beach, where it's tens of thousands of dollars a year just to get one, if you can get one. So maybe we've got it good here. I don't know.
I know you're an expert in St. Louis and not other cities, but would you guess those margins are about the same across the country?
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked to a guy in Florida who's just killing it, and he said, "This is I'm busy all the time, and it's great, and there's no the taxes are different, but the cost structure is different down there." And he goes, "I didn't think about that part of it. Things are bad on the front end." So he said, "Just because you're making bank, we're also paying a lot more for everything else." So it's a tough business, you know. But gosh, it's fun, you know. It really is.
Who we had on this week because we kind of have fallen in love with them is the three sisters who run Chili Max downtown that used to be O.T. Hodges.
Yes,
and they've been there. The one who's been there the least is 37 years. The one who's been there the most is 47 years.
That's crazy,
isn't it? Yeah. Carrying on the O.T. Hodge tradition now is Chili Max.
Wow. And I bet they have a few stories.
Oh, my goodness.
A few late night stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see that people get into this business and they don't get out. And I talked to all these guys from all these Italian restaurants on the Hill, and they said, you know, this guy's been with me 30 years, 35 years. Between the staff, you know, we've got 200 years worth of service kind of things. It's just, it's cool. I mean, and it's very, it can be very rewarding.
But if you get into it to get rich, you're getting in for the wrong reason.
No.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. It's a labor of love. And hopefully the money comes. It does to some people. And it doesn't to others. And, you know, it's no secret. The one secret, the one thing you have to do, and this is no, it's like, you know, not like people don't know this, you got to be there. You know, the owner has to be there. Guys that want to do this as an investment, no. That's just, you're just.
Never been to Palmanos and Paul wasn't there.
Nope.
Right.
And a lot of the better places, you think about that, those guys are there or they're close by or their, you know, wife is there or somebody is there. And it's just it's a comfort thing for the customer and it's a security thing for the business.
One more question before we head to what you want to talk about. But those
I don't even know what that was.
Those margins, are they about the same whether you're Annie Guns or you're a burger joint?
Some steakhouses, there's no, you better be selling a lot of liquor and wine.
Yeah.
Meat's expensive.
Yeah.
Burgers, high margin. Pizza, high margin. Tacos, high margin. That's why you see so many of these.
Yeah.
One, people like them, and two, you can make a buck doing that.
Yeah.
But meat is generally expensive. Pasta isn't. But again, there's a lot of this. So much of the stuff is homemade and made in-house, and that cranks up the cost, too.
And
unfortunately, now with costs just going crazy, people are going less to made in-house, scratch-made stuff, and going more to, I can buy this soup in a bag just as easily. And that's, you know, I hate to see that happen.
That's sad, yeah.
It is sad, but if there's nobody to make the soup, then you don't have a choice.
That's right.
So
what else do you want to talk about?
Well, as Rachel knows, I go on these, I do a rant every week in the newsletter, and this week, and it's funny, it's like, I've done these for years. I've done hundreds and hundreds of them, and I panic because I got to come up with something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat myself, but anyway, this one I'd never thought about. A guy called me up, and he said, when you're dining in a group, he goes, doesn't it bother you when the server takes away all the drink glasses, iced tea, Coke, whatever, and then brings them all back and serves them again? I never know if I got my same glass back or not.
I've never thought of that.
I've never even thought of it. And it doesn't, to be honest, I'm not one of those guys that's going to bother.
No.
I mean, I'll take somebody's fork and eat off it at the table.
We're the same guy.
No problem with that at all. I don't care what people say or think. But anyway, and I thought, that's really interesting. And I said, it's so easily rectified. One, take a pitcher of water or Coke to the table and be done with it. Or take all those things away. Give everybody fresh Cokes and iced teas and come back and see, I gave you all fresh. Anyway, very easily rectified, but this guy was like panicked to think that he was drinking somebody else's germed up Coke.
Well, remember Tony Colombo, how he was about forks?
Yeah, he had a hard time eating at restaurants if you thought about it too much because of all the people who had put those forks into their mouths.
Like, thousands and thousands of people.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry to burst anybody's bubble.
Well, that's a little silly. Don't you? I mean, those dishwashers crank at about 200 degrees, and they damn near boil the germs off of there. So, but anyway, that's that. I just thought that was, you know, okay, good. Thank you for coming up with a rant
If you had OCD, like for real OCD, and that was one of the things that triggered you, just going out to eat would be pretty tough.
It would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of these guys that just, they're really, you know, hey, can we share this? And their eyes get real big and go, no, this is mine. And,
I've seen this one do it.
Are you that way?
I mean, I can. It's weird. It's like different textures and stuff.
Don't
I'm better
about.
Don't
get nachos with her.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of sharing
I would think
nachos.
That would be one thing you could take a nacho and...
It's like...
It's not like you're double dipping the nachos.
I know, but it's the melted cheese. Like, if you got the cheese all over your hands, it's like, I don't want to do that.
And she rubbed off on me. Oh, I used to be a big nacho guy. No. Now I'm like, I don't
touch
him.
I don't think so. Oh, you guys would be fun to go out with. How about tipping? This is something that if I'm asked one question the most, it's about tipping. And I did a little thing on tipping today. But what I think is just as interesting, you know, people are worried about tipping, tipping too much. How much do I tip at a takeout window? Do I tip at a takeout window? And I thought, well, that's a good one. And generally, people don't tip at pickup windows. They don't think they're expected to tip. And I kind of agree with that, right? These guys are, this is what they're paid to do. They stand at the window and they hand you your bag or they fill your bag. Okay, that's good. But there are still times when, you know, you get that pad put in front of you and it says something and you're like, and you're making eye contact and I guess I'll tip something and you never know what to do. You don't want to look like a schmuck, but I asked a few folks in the business that have pickup windows what the policy is, and it was all across the board. We don't allow it. We discourage it. And one person said that, you know, I'm really against this 20, 25, and 30% deal at the pickup window. Mm-hmm. I said, I would be too. So I think their policy was to crank it back to, what did she say? I forget, 10, 15, and 20% maybe, which is a little bit more reasonable. And I think that's where we're going. Yeah. I think people are tired of this 30% stuff. And I think you're going to start seeing those tablets come back to...
You're going to kill the golden goose.
Yeah, exactly. Numbers have to be within
reason. Real quick, right before we go to break, what about higher-end dining? If I tip my server... And I tip them well. Can I depend on them to tip out everyone else, or should I slip the server assistant a 20? Or what's the classy thing to do?
I think you have to just let it ride and hope that they're And I think most of them do that, and they know what their sales are, and their boss knows what. Based on this amount of sales, we know that you made about this much in tips, and you can get pretty damn close. So, there's no point in. But I've done that though. Mm-hmm. Some young busboy that's just done
busted
a killer job. First job, hey, thank you. That was really good. You got a future in this business, pal.
I agree. Brag about your chapstick.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I am almost completely done with a chapstick.
It's and never
I don't
happened
know,
to me.
I don't know that I've ever accomplished it before.
I don't think they end. I don't think they do.
They do. Mine's about to end because it's kind of like scraping my lips as I put it on. It's like getting like down in there.
How long
you know?
Take?
It hurts.
Oh, it's taken like at least 6 months. This is my work chapstick. Mm-hmm. So this is the one that I only use here and I keep it in a special place so I don't lose it.
So and Andrew doesn't use it?
Yes, I hide it from Andrew because I'm terrified that he's going to use it up. But nope,
very
I'm almost
fresh.
Done. I'm very excited about it.